Hello, you're listening to Romeo And, a podcast about masculinity, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. Welcome back, bros. Welcome to the second season of the podcast. This season, I'm very excited to announce that Romeo And is no longer a bi-weekly podcast. That's right. From this day forward, Romeo And will be publishing episodes on a weekly basis. Hooray! Are you excited? I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this announcement throughout most of season one, actually. So, twice the episodes, same great content. It's perfect, really. I'm still going to be doing movie critiques as well as story analysis, just like last season. So if you have any suggestions for movies you'd like me to review, send them my way. Also, if you have any personal stories about being a nice guy or being a guy in general, similar stories to the ones that I shared in season one, I'd love to hear them, and maybe I'll review it here on the podcast. I'm hoping to do more interviews as well, since it's nice to hear from other people besides myself sometimes. Although, I know you guys all love listening to my voice. I'm also going to be dedicating some episodes to answering your questions. Questions about masculinity, questions about feminism, the men's rights movement, nice guys, the friend zone, you name it. So, obviously, if you want to have your questions answered by me, then send them my way. Email contact@stsaint.com or leave me a voicemail at 516-514-7878. The more we do this, the more straightforward it will all be. At least, that's the goal. That's the hope. That's the dream. In any case, here we are, taking things one episode at a time, or four or five at a time. But who's counting? Anyway, this week on the podcast, you might have guessed by the title of this episode, but if not, we're doing a review of The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Get excited. Anyway, that's coming up next here on Romeo And. In this episode of the podcast, we'll be taking a look at the hit comedy, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. You've probably heard of it. Hell, you've probably seen it. It was rated one of the best films in 2005. It was also Judd Apatow's directorial debut. And the film's success allowed him to continue producing hit comedies like Knocked Up, Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Bridesmaids, etc. The film also jump-started Steve Carell's career, it being his first lead role in a feature film. But you can't talk about 40-year-old virgins without getting into some rough territory. Sex is a huge deal in our culture, and to have lived four or more decades without having it is seen as downright shocking to most. But since sex is also an extremely taboo subject, it shouldn't really come as a surprise that there are a good number of people who have lived their lives without talking about, asking for, or engaging in sexual intercourse. After all, you can't just tell someone, you haven't had sex? Well, you should go out and do that real quick. And that's one of the reasons the film is so successful. Because our titular 40-year-old virgin keeps hearing from people, why haven't you done it yet? And just go out and do it already, as if it were that easy. And a lot of people see the success of a movie that seems to make a mockery of people who are in their later years and still virgins, and take some offense to that. And so that's why I'm going to break it down. That, and because the movie is just so friggin' hilarious. I couldn't keep it off my to-watch list. So I'm going to cover three main topics. First, according to the film, how is it that a man can go 40 years without having sex? Secondly, I ask the question of what men are supposed to do, according to our culture, in order to get laid. And finally, I take a look at the repercussions of these realities and what effects they have on men as a whole. So let's get right down to it. If you haven't guessed it by now, there will probably be some spoilers coming your way. Not that it really matters, since the movie is drop-dead funny even if you know what's going to happen. I've seen it like 12 times and I still crack up every time I see it. But if you don't want to know what happens and you haven't seen the movie, then go see the movie before listening any further to this podcast. There you go. As for the rest of you, let's tackle the main question the film raises. Why hasn't Andy had sex yet? Or actually, the question comes off not so much as why hasn't he, but how is it possible he hasn't had sex yet? As if sex were some milestone you inevitably reach growing up, like having your first period or growing your first pubic hair. There would have to be some kind of crazy genetic or medical phenomenon to prevent a person from having their first sexual encounter. But obviously that's not the case, right? Sex is not something that just happens. At least it shouldn't be. That would be kind of freaky. I was just in the bathroom combing my hair when all of a sudden, bam, I was losing my virginity. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a little, I don't know. But the movie can't take this stance on sex unless it's something that we as a society actually believe. And it's true. You ask anyone what they think about a person going 40 years without sex, and they probably assume that there was something wrong with that person. Or assume that person was like a priest or a monk or a nun or something. So what does the movie say is wrong with Andy? Well, first off, Andy doesn't have a car. He rides a bike. A bicycle. And since he has no car, he has no way to literally pick up women. And that's one of the main reasons a lot of guys go out and buy cars the first opportunity they have to pick up women. One, it shows women that you have resources, money, and two, it allows you to literally pick them up and drive them places. Nothing says loser more than having to ask a woman to pick you up for a date. And yet, that's just what Andy does with Trish. A lot of women would look at Andy and think, he doesn't have a car? No way I'm dating him. But Trish doesn't seem to give a shit. She says, all right, well, I guess I'll pick you up then. And that's it. There was no more of a thing made about it. And that's an example of something that I say all the time. Women are people. Not every woman is going to react the same to something like not having a car. Sure, a lot of women see no car as a deal breaker, but guess what? A lot of women won't. And I'm glad the movie actually shows us that Andy's lack of a car isn't actually what's keeping him from having sex. So that's one check off the list. So what else is wrong with Andy? Well, he has no social life. His hobbies include collecting action figures, playing video games, and cooking. There's no opportunity to meet anyone when you're by yourself at home all the time. It's not until Andy agrees to play poker with some of his work buddies that he starts to come out of his shell and kind of go down this whole path of becoming a non-virgin. The running joke is that everyone thinks that he's a serial killer in the beginning because he never talks to anyone. Although, once again, we see that Andy's unusual hobbies don't actually prevent him from getting the girl. Even though the guys tell him that no woman would ever date a guy with a bunch of action figures in his house and force him to move them out so that Trish won't see them when she goes to his house, when Trish actually does learn that he has action figures, she gets excited. She says, oh, well, you can make a lot of money selling them. She doesn't call him a loser. She doesn't leave immediately like the guys seem to suggest that she's going to do. But that actually brings me to my next point about Andy. He has very limited social skills. Something else that we talk about here a lot on Romeo and. He's just a super awkward guy. Talking to and relating to people is more of a challenge for him. Again, that's not an uncommon thing. A lot of guys are the same way. Andy says himself, when told he still has time to lose his virginity, that he wouldn't know what to do. No one teaches guys how to ask women on dates. No one tells them where to take women. No one teaches them when the right time is for intimacy. It's all covered by this veil of taboo. Guys are told that they should use their instincts, which is probably the biggest load of crap that I've ever heard, but Jay, one of Andy's coworkers, actually tells him that a man just instinctually knows what to do when it comes to picking up women. Except that they don't.
All you're doing is using your instinct.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's how a tiger know he got to tackle a gazelle. It's a code written in his DNA. It says, tackle the gazelle.
Okay.
And believe it or not, in every man there's a code written that says, tackle drunk bitches.
Most of what guys know about dating is learned from watching movies like this one. And as you already know from listening to this podcast, most of what guys are taught from the movies is totally wrong. In other words, unless you have good social skills to begin with, you're pretty much screwed. Though yet again, the movie shows us that being socially awkward isn't really Andy's problem either. Because when he meets Trish, he doesn't try to hit on her or use some line or something. He's just his regular self. His regular, awkward self. He tells some corny jokes, and he doesn't really have much to say, but Trish still finds him charming. The reason Andy's able to speak with confidence is because he talks to Trish about something he knows well, electronics. That's a good trick to have in mind. If you're not normally a very confident person, try to attract a woman who shares an interest with you, something that you know a lot about. It's easier to be confident around people if you're very familiar with the subject matter. Andy meets Trish at his job, so he's in his territory. He's right at home, even though it's his first time actually trying to sell something. Ultimately, the only thing that was really holding Andy back from meeting the right woman was the fact that he was so kept to himself. Once he started to get out more and talk to people and make friends, he was able to meet Trish. If he were still locked up in the stock room of the store and never started hanging out with Cal, Jay, and David, he wouldn't have met Trish at all. I think that's the ultimate takeaway. If you want to succeed at dating, you have to just keep trying. A lot of guys are just giving up because of one thing or another. There's a whole conversation to be had about that, but if you give up, then there's almost no hope. And here's an area where feminism really hasn't helped at all. Because women are able to speak their minds when it comes to dating and relationships, it puts an enormous pressure on guys to always do and say the right thing. But there's never a right or wrong thing to say. It all depends on who you're talking to. On top of that, guys, like I said before, are never told what they should say in the first place. So now guys are walking on eggshells trying not to offend women, at least the nice guys are. Meanwhile, they have to completely reinvent the wheel. Andy sums up this feeling nicely when he talks about his fears picking up women.
You know what? I respect women. I love women. I respect them so much that I completely stay away from them.
It's really funny, but a lot of guys are deciding to steer clear of women altogether to save themselves from the seemingly inevitable backlash of accidentally saying something offensive. One of Andy's coworkers, David, illustrates this trend of guys just giving up on dating. David gives up on dating mainly because he's still recovering from a bad breakup. But there are many guys who are giving up on dating because of what I've been saying. I mean, Andy is kind of an example of it too when we are first introduced to him as a character, because when it's found out that he's a virgin, he kind of explains that, well, he tried to have sex when he was younger, but it got to the point where it just kind of wasn't happening and it was too difficult, and you have all these scenarios where things just kind of go terribly wrong, and he says, you know what, maybe it's just not worth it. Women are becoming more and more self-reliant with feminism and everything, and guys just have no idea how to adjust to it. Essentially, we're in a position where we're just destined to fail. But I'll talk more about that later. First, I want to switch gears and talk about what guys are expected to do in order to get laid. Now that we've looked at what Andy did to become a 40-year-old virgin, what does it take to prevent becoming one yourself? Well, the first thing to do is to hit on drunk bitches, naturally. If you're looking to have sex, all you have to do is go to a bar somewhere, hit on a girl who's stumbling drunk, and take her home. Of course, trying to have sex with a drunk girl doesn't work for Andy. It almost does, but he almost gets killed in a car with an inebriated driver. That was mainly just bad judgment on his part, to be fair. And then, despite surviving the ride, he gets thrown up on, which totally kills any mood he might have had. To be fair, this is a farce, but like I always say, comedies are funny because they're based on real-life scenarios. It's funny to us that Andy's friend would take him to a bar to find some drunk bitch to have sex with, because that's exactly what a lot of guys do. They go to bars and clubs to meet women who are drunk enough and uninhibited enough to agree to have sex with them. Why? Because meeting sober women while sober is terrifying. Instead, you find a woman who's falling on her ass drunk, who won't care who you are or what you look like. But what happens if you're a guy who has any shred of self-respect? What if you feel like hitting on drunk bitches isn't an option for you? As Andy puts it,
you know what? I don't feel comfortable hitting on drunk bitches, you know? I don't think that's right.
Okay, hold up, dog. First of all, you making it out to be some kind of bad thing. Well, I didn't use bitches in a derogatory sense. You did.
It just does. This doesn't feel right.
Of course it don't feel right. What has felt right for you doesn't work. You need to try some wrong, dog.
And if you're still refusing to hit on drunk bitches, then maybe you're just putting pussy up on a pedestal.
Let me just say, you are putting the pussy up on this pedestal. You're just building the pussy up, man.
What are you even talking about, building the pussy up? What does that mean?
You making the pussy into this great big Greek goddess named Pussaliath, and what you're doing is you're psyching yourself into thinking it's some impossible feat.
Yeah.
To be fair, Jay actually has a point with the whole pussy on a pedestal thing. A lot of guys spend so much time trying to woo the one girl he thinks is right for him that when she turns him down, it's too crushing a blow to go on. Dating coaches will often give the advice that you need to play the numbers. If you ask 10 girls out, maybe 5 of them will actually give you their number. And of those 5, maybe 2 will actually call you back. And of those 2, you can hopefully get at least 1 date. Maybe hitting on drunk bitches is not the most moral thing to do, but it definitely has a better success rate than a long courtship. The goal then should probably be to find some kind of middle ground. You don't have to just hit on a bunch of drunk bitches, but you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket either. But then you also don't want to be bad at sex. As Andy's friends tell him, he will probably be really bad at sex the first few times he does it, so he shouldn't have sex with anyone he actually likes right away. Instead, he should go after the drunk bitches I was talking about. Have some bad sex, get good at sex, and then go back and date people he actually wants to date. Again, this is a comedy, but this advice is not actually uncommon. I've heard it a bunch of times myself, that you shouldn't lose your virginity with someone you actually want to date long term. Otherwise, she'll think you're terrible at sex and dump you. But then I also heard that you should lose your virginity to someone you actually care about. Kind of getting mixed signals there. Not at all surprising. But then, if consent wasn't such a turnoff in our culture, this would never be a problem. Because instead of simply sucking at sex, people would be inclined to ask their partner, hey, is it cool if I do this? Or just asking, what would you prefer I do? But in our culture, you're not supposed to ask those kinds of things. You're supposed to just do it and hope whatever it is you do, your partner likes. Dumb, 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 dumb. But this is the reality that we're living in. As I said before, we're in a system that is set up for us to fail. And this is the last point that I wanted to cover. How all these ideas about sex and virginity and dating and consent are all screwing with our heads. Men especially are completely doomed in this so-called patriarchal system that we live in. First off, we're told that we absolutely must start dating women and having sex by the time we're 18. But we are given almost no advice, examples, or guidance about how it should be done. We're expected to simply know how to do it. And then the direction that we do get is 9 times out of 10 outdated, impractical, or just downright offensive. And if we follow that advice, women, who are now hyper-aware of all of this due to the feminist movement, are very much inclined to rip us a new one for using these methods. But if we don't follow these methods, or try at all, we're ridiculed by both men and women alike for failing at dating. Finally, if we complain about this flawed system we're a part of, once again, due to feminism, we're again ridiculed for suggesting that we are somehow in a less optimal position than women are. It's no wonder more and more guys are swearing off dating altogether. As David says, celibacy is the way to go, man. Guys are giving up on dating because it's too rough. There's no way to win without a miracle with the way things are. This just proves to me that we need to change the way we think about dating and relationships in a big way. That said, my request of you is to think about how you approach the dating world. Are you the kind of person that tries to play by the rules of the system? I mean, what does that mean anyway? Because sometimes it seems like going to a bar to pick up some drunk chick is the rule rather than the exception. Regardless, I challenge you to break these trends. Allow yourself to be awkward if that's who you are. Don't go out and buy a car just because you think you need one to get into a relationship. Don't stop playing video games if that's what you like to do. If you want to find a good relationship, you just have to put yourself out there. Open yourself up to the opportunity. Try to meet a lot of new people. Not necessarily even the people you want to date. Just get into the habit of being social. The better you are at being social, the easier all of this is going to be. That's the number one takeaway from all of this. And that doesn't necessarily mean going to bars. Go to places you like to go. Maybe that's a bookstore, or the gym, or a ski slope. Wherever it is, go there because it's where you want to be, not because you're trying to meet someone. Because your enthusiasm for whatever it is you're doing is what's going to attract people to you. At least, that's what I've seen, and that's my advice to you. Naturally, if you have any other ideas or advice, send them my way. But that's it for this episode of Romeo And. First episode, new season. Welcome back, everybody. As always, if you have a story you want featured on the podcast, send me a message via email, contact@stsaint.com, or give me a call at 516-514-7878. Also, be sure to follow me on social media, like Romeo And on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter @street_saint. As I said in the beginning of the episode, Romeo And is now a weekly podcast. Yay! So make sure you get every episode when it's released by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the podcatcher of your choice. But if you do nothing else, just go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a 5-star rating. There's nothing more valuable to the show than getting a bunch of good ratings from all of you guys. Thanks again for listening. I am Street Saint, and I'll see you next time.